It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts,
all these guys,
Dan Wiederer and Mark Crotty.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast. Along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic, I am Mark Crotty of 104.3 The Score. If you are watching on video, we're back. We are back at Hallis Hall. That is where today's episode of TTN is taking place. Day one, man. It's like it does have Wiederer that back. First day of school feel. Everybody's fresh. Everybody's equipment is shiny. It's just that it is the new year for the NFL and for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I'm busy over here still taking notes on everything that we learned today and the things that we're going to discuss on this podcast. It's a little different, though, and I'm sure you probably feel this way to some extent. This is the first time since I've been on the beat, and this is season 14, that we haven't heard from players on the report date of training camp, which is a little bit different. I'm not going to say it's better, worse, or otherwise. It's just different. And so it's up to the head coach and the general manager to set the tone and raise the curtain on the camp. And football's here. You know, we'll get out here very early on Wednesday morning for the first practice. As you saw earlier this week, we got the schedule. We're going to be setting the alarm for earlier hours than we have been in a few months. And we'll be out here with interviews starting well before 8 o'clock. And then the practice is starting around 8:30. So I'm sure you're ready, right, to get your caffeine and get this thing rolling.
Yeah, because as I was discussing on The Score, I don't have evening discipline. Like, I like to go to bed after 10 o'clock. So, yeah, tomorrow might be, or Wednesday might require a nap at some point in time in my day. But I guess the good news is for everybody, being that it's so early, the day ends early. So, naps can be in order. There's lots of work to be done. I'm sure I'll have many on-air assignments to perform, but at least we can kind of do them at a leisurely pace once the day finally ends. But you are correct. This first day out at Hallis Hall again, which is where Dan Wiederer and I are in Lake Forest. That is the Bears headquarters. This is where we are often and will be throughout the season. But it was Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson who were doing the talking today and all the dignitaries today. It was standing room only in the media room. You had multiple McCaskies in the room. You had Pat McCaskey and Brian McCaskey. I did not spot George McCaskey. Was George in there or no?
I did not see him, and there was a joke that maybe he was still umpiring with the Bananas and maybe got back on their team bus with the Savannah Bananas and went to go do another Bananas Firefighters game elsewhere in the country, but did not see him in there today with, as you mentioned, his brothers Pat and Brian in there as well.
That's hilarious. For people who did not quite get the reference, Dan just made the Savannah Bananas, the hilarious traveling baseball team, the Globetrotters of baseball. George McCaskey, who literally is a high school baseball umpire in the area, was invited by the Savannah Bananas to be an outfield umpire at Wrigley Field this past weekend, and he played the part. They mic'd him up. They did a hilarious interview with him, but that is the George McCaskey lifestyle. Kevin Warren was in the house. Where's Kevin Warren? Well, Kevin Warren is at Hallis Hall. So he took in the festivities. He did not speak to the media, but it was a jam-packed house. Ben Johnson talking about, you know, and I can't wait for Ben Johnson 2.0, if you will, talking about to forge an ID. He talked about the unique continuity of the coaching staff, and he expects another layer of sophistication as well. So, Dan, I know that you and I love, I know you especially, Dan Wiederer loves juice, and that is what Ben Johnson gives you. How forward are you looking to this version of training camp? Because we know what it was last year when he was trying to drown Caleb Williams.
I don't think he was trying to. It was an unfortunate byproduct of trying to teach him how to swim without a whole lot of flotation devices. So it's going to be different this year. And I think you heard from the coach today, just some of the eagerness to kind of take the next step in their journey together. But that's both as a relationship piece and then obviously the on-field portion of stuff where you want to see the growth and maturity of Caleb as a quarterback. And so that's going to be really fun to watch. You mentioned juice. I mean, when Ben Johnson followed Ryan Poles to the lectern up there in the PNC Center room that we sit in, you felt it the second he stepped on the stage that like he was almost caffeinatedly shaking with the excitement I think he has to welcome his players into the building. You know, we started getting into some of the conversation about messaging and what he would deliver to players. And he was like, look, that's for the team meeting room, which to our credit, you know, like we're getting the head coach hours before the full team gets in that auditorium later tonight and has that first full team address. And so Ben didn't want to tip his hand or give out any spoilers there that could go viral on social media, but you could get the sense that he was itching to start that messaging process for this team about this is go time, right? And in his words, it's a race. You know, he said it again this year, it's a race. And that's a very good word choice to let people know that there's not a lot of time to waste.
And it's a race, and he reiterated it's, you know, in terms of sustained success, it's a whole new year. And yes, sustained success is the name of the game, but he says they start from ground zero with this team. And obviously there are many players that are back who will hopefully go to the next level. We will hear from Ben Johnson throughout this podcast, specifically on Caleb Williams. I know people are anxious to hear what the head coach is saying about his quarterback. We'll have a couple of good cuts from Ben Johnson on Caleb.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But the headline out here today has to be Kyler Gordon. And that is what has been going. Where is he in terms of his rehab, the lingering soft tissue issue, which we'll get specific about here in a second. Kyler Gordon only played in three games last year. He signed the big contract the year before. As a matter of fact, Kyler Gordon has never played a full season in his time in the NFL, and he was drafted back in 2022. So it has, at the very least, reached a crucial juncture, it feels like, for Kyler Gordon. So I want to start this, get us going here right now, Dan, because you and I have talked about it. We have speculated about what is going on with Kyler Gordon. Why don't we listen to what Ryan Poles, the general manager, is saying specifically about Kyler Gordon, and then you will hear some follow-up questions, which happen to be, among others, from Dan Wiederer and me. So without further ado, Ryan Poles on what is going on with Kyler Gordon.
Kyler Gordon on PUP with his calf. He was here all off season training, getting right. We had a delay in that, all hands on deck to get him back. Coach alluded to it before in terms of his availability or the lack thereof. Obviously he's frustrated. We're frustrated. We just want him back. He helps our football team, but we have to move forward with the guys that we have. And when he's ready to go, he'll be ready to go. Everybody here is putting all their time and effort to get him back right. So that's where that's at. I'll open up the questions.
Do you have a minimum amount of time you expect Kyler to miss here at the start of camp?
I don't. I really don't know. He's got to get right, and I think the important thing that we've all talked about is when he gets back, we need him to stay back.
You mentioned there's a frustration factor, obviously, on both sides with Kyler Gordon and you guys.
Yeah.
Has he done everything that you guys have wanted him to do as far as rehabbing and getting better?
Yeah, like I said, I think he gave up a lot this break to stay here and put the time in. That's what he did. And again, a little bit of a repetitive situation that we got to get fixed. And then when he gets back, he's going to have to earn that trust back and that dependability. So you know, because we got to put all the guys in a good position to be successful. And the up and down, moving guys around is really tough. So he'll have to earn that back when he gets back.
Considering how long this has gone on for him, mm-hmm. has there been some type of disconnect between him and the team at some point to explain why this is?
Yeah, I think that's a frustrating thing is I think the communication in terms of the plan our guys have put together has been on point, but it's just hasn't stuck. So, again, we're turning every stone to get that thing right.
You talked about him being here late in the offseason. He didn't show up on time for the offseason program.
You talking about last year?
Yeah. Do you need more consistency from him?
Yeah, this year's been consistent. Like I said, he stayed here the whole break trying to get right. We got to keep that consistent as we move forward.
Dan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, well, you've got three letters to quantify Kyler's roster designation, PUP, physically unable to perform. You've got three letters that describe his timeline to return, TBD, to be determined. And what I wrote at the Athletics blog was, if those two things linger, then you've got four-letter words that come into the equation for the Bears coaches. I'm like, when are we going to get this guy? You know, when are we going to be able to use him on defense and have him be that dynamic chess piece that we believe he can be? And so, listen, the words frustrating came up a lot here today. And I think you just have to start as a coaching staff developing contingency plans and figuring out what your other options are at that slot corner position.
Well, and that's interesting too, because I believe it was you who asked the question of what are your options? What are we talking about? And to Ben Johnson, I think.
Yeah.
And Ben, unless I missed it and everything's happening pretty fast out here, he didn't name check anybody. He gave, like he said, there's some new guys, there's some young guys, there's some veterans. I mean, you and I know who the candidates are, but I did think it was interesting that Ben Johnson did not name, I mean, young guy would be Malik Muhammad, I would imagine.
Right. Yep.
Jalen Jones would probably be veteran. Josh Blackwell would probably be veteran player, but Ben Johnson was, I don't know if he wasn't prepared to, you know, discuss that position and maybe leaving it to Dennis Allen, to whom we will speak on Wednesday. But I did think it was interesting that he has yet to really, really able to stomach naming who that inside guy is going to be on defense.
There's a few things here. You named three of the guys. I would add Cam Lewis, who's a safety by trade, but can play the slot also to that list. But when you come out here every day, there's going to be things that you're tracking in your notebook. It's going to be who's taking the reps with the ones and twos at slot corner. It's going to be who's the left tackle on this given day. It's you know, is there any change in the center situation as they try to get Logan Jones on the road to success while also understanding that Garrett Bradbury is your likely week one starter? And so these are things that we're going to keep an eye on, and certainly in this first week of camp, getting eyes on who is taking the bulk of the reps at that slot corner position is going to be interesting. And then, as you said, to listen to Dennis Allen on Wednesday, when you get a chance to talk to him, put his spin on this, will probably be a little bit informative as well. But it's certainly it's a front burner topic for sure. And particularly when you've paid a guy and you expect him to be one of your building blocks for a defense that needs playmakers. Like, let's not be shy about saying this. Like, we know that the offense is the stronger unit on this football team. You need playmakers. You paid guys to be playmakers. They need to be who you paid them to be. Right now, Kyler's not available to do that. And as Ryan said, you know, when he comes back, we have to make sure he stays back.
I thought that Ryan Poles' message about Kyler Gordon was a little bit mixed, because he did say that it's all hands on deck, that he complimented Kyler Gordon multiple times on having been here throughout the offseason and rehabbing, and which would connote that he's doing what the team wants him to do. But he talked about how the communication has been on point, but for some reason it hasn't stuck. Now, on the other side of things, Ben Johnson, there was no ambiguity. There was no good and bad, yin and yang. Let's listen to, and listen quickly, folks. Put your listening ears on, because this is all of about 5 seconds, I do believe, question and answer from Patrick Finley to Ben Johnson regarding Kyler Gordon. Take a listen to this.
What's been your message to Kyler Gordon?
Get healthy.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
And he is where this has all begun. He is the reason that Ryan Poles spent more time in his introduction talking about Kyler Gordon than he did any of the other injured players. Did you notice that? I mean, he was just kind of like racing through, and then he knew. Ryan Poles knew he had to give some texture to Kyler Gordon because of the way Ben Johnson has handled the Kyler Gordon thing.
Well, I mean, it's a real deal, you know, and Ben has said really since the end of last year that he's hoping to build that trust and that connection with Kyler so that they can go and try to pursue the biggest ambitions that this organization has together. And you can't build trust if you're not out on the field. So durability, availability, all those things matter. And it's something that you got to manage because look, like, you know, as well as I do that in situations like this, having Kyler Gordon back for three practices means nothing. Having him back for 5 weeks in a row of practice, that means something. And so that's a long road, right? Like, that's a marathon where you can't, you know, the first block of the marathon, you don't throw your arms up and go, give me the medal. You know what I mean? Like, there's a long way to go yet. And so I think that's kind of where they are with Kyler as they try to get him positioned to have a successful season. And again, like, one of the things that's easy to do on the first day of training camp is to overstate this stuff. And I don't think we're doing that here, but you do just have to remember that there are 6 weeks here to play with. And so you've got to kind of take the balance of aggressiveness and caution with a player like this to try to get him set up so that when the regular season arrives, as Ryan said, he's available and he stays available.
Right. And I was talking about this earlier with some people. Like, it would have been nice to have heard some sort of estimate, like, he'll be available in the second week of camp. He'll be available in the second preseason game. Maybe a joint practice. Honestly, Dan, I would have been okay hearing maybe the second game of the season, like, if that's what it is. But that's the scary part to me, that there is still no indication. And for the record, Ryan Poles was very careful, and I'll go through all the other players quickly here in a second that he discussed. He didn't give timelines on any of the players, let alone Kyler Gordon, but we understand the importance of him. But it leaves, and you're right, we don't want to be too dramatic too early, but to not have any kind of timeline for Kyler Gordon or even a guess or even the thought of a guess still concerns me.
Not that our audience needs a reminder, but Kyler missed 14 regular season games last year, two separate stints on IR, plus a hamstring injury early in the year. So it was hamstring, calf, and groin last year. This is a calf at this point. A lot of things to deal with. And remember, like, Jalen Johnson was on the PUP list when camp started last year, and then he was there for a long time, and then he tried to come back early in the season, and he quickly hurt himself again, and then he was having surgery and out for an even longer period of time. And so, like, these are all things that you have to kind of keep on your worry radar as you're putting together a plan for the preseason.
Let me just go through really quickly the other injuries that Ryan Poles mentioned. I'm going to go through them, Dan, and then if you have any comments on them, I'll let you do that. But first, Ozzie Trapillo of the ruptured patellar tendon against Green Bay said that he looks good, got to get back in football shape, all of that, and he gave no indication on whether or not he would be back later this year. We know that that's probably a stretch. Shamar Turner, who had the torn ACL in week 8 last year, Ryan Poles said he's starting to move around well. Again, no timeline, no indication on whether or not we were going to see him in training camp. Elijah Hicks's name did pop up.
Yeah.
He has a shin injury, which that's new, right, Dan? Because I had
that was new.
Okay. He's got the shin injury. He said not a major injury. So we shall see. Noah Sewell of the torn Achilles late last year, he is still rehabbing. He had surgery too, so I wouldn't expect him out there anytime soon. The linebacker, Keyshawn Elliott, who we mentioned the other day, Dan, I think it was when Fishbane was on, experiencing back discomfort. He has been running, getting his strength back, things like that. So hopefully we'll see him at some point in time. And maybe the most important name out of the guys that I'm listing right now, TJ Edwards. It was revealed that he does have a right calf injury, but I was happy to hear Ryan Poles say that he does not believe that that is a major issue. I would expect that he'll be limited early on in camp at the very least, but to hear that is not major with his non-football injury, NFI list, as they call it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that happened while TJ was working out on his own, you get the NFI designation, which I think that was what Jalen's designation was last year as well, coming in. And so, yeah, a lot of things to monitor. And we haven't had our first practice yet, haven't had our first week yet, haven't had our first padded practice yet, haven't had our first set of crossovers. You know, there's a lot to come here on the injury front, and that's obviously part of a championship team's ability to navigate that stuff. You know, that's kind of dictates how you're able to put yourself in position to keep the boat afloat when there's holes in it.
Let's get to Ben Johnson now, and a couple of cuts on Ben as it pertains to Caleb Williams. And the first question for Ben Johnson was, what is at the top of this year's checklist for Caleb Williams relative to last year? Here's Ben Johnson.
He and I were just talking yesterday about that. Is, you know, I have this urge as an offensive guy to want to continue to evolve and you can say innovate and push the limits a little bit. And yet at the same time, in the back of my mind, what's best for him is to continue to bank some of these reps. He's had two off seasons and one training camp so far, and a full season, obviously, to where he's had a lot of the similar concepts repeat for him. And now we're at the point where he's not thinking about the play call. He's not thinking about the cadence, the motion, and all the jigamarole before the snap. Things are starting to slow down. And so what we need to see here in camp is that anticipation, take it up a notch. I think with that, the coverage recognition gets taken up another notch. I think there's other ways we're going to continue to challenge and push them, more of which are going to happen post-snap. Last year, we talked about that pre-snap operation quite a bit. Feel a lot better about that this time of year than we did. And so now we're just moving on to the next stage.
I love this, Dan. I really do, because last year at this time, we were hearing the same things that we heard even his predecessor say about teaching Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky to get in and out of the huddle and setting guys up at the line. And now we truly are advanced to hear him talk about coverage recognition and the post-snap as opposed to the pre-snap stuff is really nice to hear, and it'll be really good. Of all, we've heard so much about the fundamentals for Caleb Williams and doing the easy stuff better and ball placement. Nice to hear things like coverage recognition, which is a natural progression for any quarterback in his third year.
Before I follow up on that, just curious how your ball placement is doing at this moment. All good?
Are we all good? You can only see my top half right now. So ball placement looks pretty good from where I'm sitting.
Yeah. Great. That's just me as a teammate checking in on you, and I just want to make sure that we're all good with ball placement as we walk into this.
Well, Robert
last week brought that up.
You're more in public right now. You're out in the atrium at Hallis Hall. I'm in the NFL Network studio, so nobody can see my ball placement. I hope that you're okay.
All good here. It's concealed. I'm glad you pulled that soundbite from Ben Johnson, because I think there was a bit of self-awareness in there as well, in addition to all the things that you talked about, with him saying that he has this urge, right, as he always does, to innovate and push the envelope and try to figure out what the next wave of things that he wants to introduce in this offense are going to be. And then he has to remind himself that Caleb's comfort with some of these bank reps and these concepts that he's repeated is at a level now where it's like, okay, let's lean into that a little bit and lean into that for a little while too, for Caleb's benefit, to be able to run familiar plays and not just, you know, flood him with a whole bunch of new stuff as well, to be like, okay, let's go, let's expand. And so finding that balance for Ben is going to be really interesting, because I think he's in a healthy headspace right now, and you got to kind of stay there as you go through this period here, particularly when there's so much install going on over the next few weeks. You mentioned the drowning exercise or the drowning feeling that Caleb had last year. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like Caleb is now, you know, on the deck with Ben, you know, and he's steering the offense, and Ben's telling him which way to go. And it just feels like a much more comfortable place for these two guys to be in as they get ready for their first practice and obviously weeks of stuff that will lead them into that first crossover practice before too long.
And is jigamarole, is that a derivative of thingamajig?
I think it was a combination of rigamarole and thingamajig, and it just kind of got all blended together. But yeah, I did take note of that as well. The Sean Hammond handled that in the writer's transcript, and we were all trying to spell check that and figure out what the heck that was. But yeah, Ben's introduced a new word here at the start of season two.
We always say that he's an innovative man. He gives the player stuff. He gives the media stuff. One one more cut from Ben Johnson on Caleb Williams. I love this one too, because I had asked Ben Johnson during the offseason program. I used the word elite to him. I said, you know, what can Caleb be an elite quarterback? And he kind of poo-pooed the question. This was Stacey Dales asking a question using the word elite. Stacey Dales, our good friend from NFL Network or ESPN or whatever it all is right now. Listen to Stacey Dales' question for Ben Johnson regarding Caleb Williams.
Now that you've had time to really spend with Caleb over the last really year and a half, what do you deem his elite traits to be?
Oh, shoot. I mean, he's got it all, Stacey. There's really nothing I don't think that he can't do. It's just elite arm talent, playmaking ability, escapability. You know, he has his legs that he can hurt a defense with. I mean, there's just so many layers to who he is as a player. I think that word consistency comes up over the course of a 60-minute game or more if we need it, to where we're playing high-level quarterback.
You did hear Ben Johnson admit, yeah, he's got all the elite traits that you want in an NFL quarterback. He's got it all. And we all know, because we've talked about it exhaustively this offseason, what Caleb Williams needs to do better to prove to the rest of the world, and maybe including you and I, that he's a top five elite quarterback in this league.
Yeah, and look, they've been very direct with us, Grody, about what they're going to be looking for, which is then what we can go looking for when the practices get rolling and we get more of the, you know, later in the camps, the more full speed O versus D reps, which I think are a good progress report on where the quarterback's at. And so it's time, right? It's time to go take this next test for Caleb Williams and figure out how close he can get to hitting the bullseye of the target that his coaches have laid out for him.
No doubt. Okay, one more thing.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hang here, because I mean, there's so much, but you know, where do we don't want to give you 2 hours worth of stuff on this podcast. Ben Johnson was asked, I thought very interestingly, do you feel better about the left tackle position this year than you did going into the left tackle competition last year?
I would say I've got a better feel for our guys. I mean, there's a number of them that were here last year. You know, Jedrick's really the new face. So I feel better about Braxton in terms of his health and his outlook. So I feel like he's got another step up in terms of his confidence level than he did a year ago at this time. You know, Theo was a guy last year I didn't know a whole lot about. I got high hopes for Theo as a player in this league as well. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So I know those guys a lot better. And I think another year of mentorship under Dan Roschar and Kyle Devan is going to do nothing but help all of them play better.
He still doesn't sound at a 10. Sounds better this year than he did last year, but you still don't hear him glowing about anybody.
No, and that's fine, right? Like, that's what you should be. That's the mindset you should be in as a coach that's trying to get a team to play at a championship level, you know? And we've talked about this previously on the podcast, that Braxton's had a really nice run in his NFL career to this point. Well, now he's got to level up. He's got to understand what it means to be a championship level starting left tackle for a team that has, you know, everything else that they've got going for it. So this is a real competition. I think, you know, 3 weeks from now, after we've had some padded football for a little while, we'll have a better understanding of the direction it's going. Hopefully we get some insight from Ben, from Press Taylor, from Dan Roschar along the way about kind of how they're assessing it and evaluating it. And we'll know, I think, probably by that first preseason game, by that first set of crossover practices the following week, kind of what direction they're leaning, because I don't think they want to drag this thing out to September like happened a year ago.
No, they don't. And Ben Johnson did tell us during the off-season program this year that the competitions would take place in training camp. So keep that as your backdrop when I say that, you know, he mentioned Theo Benedet there. I don't think I saw Theo Benedet playing left tackle during the off-season program. He was, as a matter of fact, on the right side most of the time, but he did name check him there. Jedrick is Jedrick Wills, who they just brought in this year, and it's all about health with him. I mean, this is a terrific athlete, a terrific prospect and all of that, but he's just been nothing but injured. And speaking of that, you know, Ryan Poles mentioned that Braxton Jones is as healthy as he has been since his rookie year. And that is saying a lot because, you know, Braxton Jones, I don't think he was healthy to start the year. I mean, not 100%, maybe 85% healthy, and learning to play in that way. I mean, I remember talking to Braxton Jones and him kind of lamenting, like, he's like, I get it. I get what everybody, you know, the pressure and the competition and not hearing the glowing words, but essentially sort of pleading, like, I'm still getting better. I'm still getting healthy. And so my point is, you could see a different version of Braxton Jones. You could see the version of Braxton Jones that we saw in his first 2 years, which is I'm not saying a great product, but a decent representative left tackle in the National Football League.
Right. And again, like, the coaches have been forward on this front as well, that, like, until those pads come on, everything that you evaluate in the spring is just kind of a hunch, and then you get real answers when that stuff comes on. And so, look, like we talked at the outset of this episode, that, like, football is here and football is back, but it's going to take a little bit of time for the significance of everything to kind of crystallize in front of us as we get into the more meaningful phases. Remember, there's a ramp-up period here. These practices are going to be short for the next few days, and then ultimately we'll get into to the stuff that matters, the nitty-gritty, so to speak.
Hell yeah. You know, we will knit and grit with the best of them out here at Hallis Hall. Speaking of offensive line, towards the end of the Ryan Poles presser, he was asked about Darnell Wright.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And he has been pretty open about the fact that they're desirous of getting a contract extension done with Darnell Wright. And I didn't really know how to take it, but what stuck out to me, what Paul said, is he still expressed the interest, but said that it takes two sides to make it happen. As in, maybe there's some heavy negotiating going on, or they're not getting where they want to get. But I will also say that Ryan Poles has used that line in the past with players that have signed extensions, where he uses the line of "it takes two." So this just tells me there's negotiating going on.
I haven't tangoed in a while, so I'll take his word on the requiring two. You assume that would require two to tango.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Look, like they've been very direct for a while in saying that Darnell is a part of their long-term future, and now you just got to find a way to make this work, hopefully before the season starts, and get that on the back burner. But man, there's a quest for consistency here from Darnell, which Ryan said today. Mm-hmm. They love the flashes, you know, and they believe he can be a guy that starts for them for a long, long time at a very important position up front. It's going to require a lot of money to get that done for obvious reasons. And so we'll just kind of wait and see what that contract looks like and how Darnell plays here in this next phase of his career, which has been promising to this point, and thought it really took some steps last year that were meaningful.
Yeah, the offensive line continues to be in good shape. Not a lot on the center competition today, but that's another thing that I'll look forward to watching play out, even starting on Wednesday. Garrett Bradbury, does Logan Jones get any first-team reps? Is it truly a competition? We're going to find that stuff out. I think it was you who had the theme of the hunter versus the hunted.
It was Biggs. That was Brad Biggs.
Oh, was it Biggs doing that today? Okay. I thought Poles had a good answer on that he said, quote, "We're going to be hunting at all times." I was like, yeah.
Well, and you know that the guy that holding the shotgun, Ben Johnson, is going to be in that you know, laser focused stare while he's out there as well. And I think that's a big deal for this team, is retaining that edge. And you would imagine that the first team meeting in the auditorium, Ben makes it very clear the mindset and the mentality that they have to operate with. And so that's going to be an interesting thing to keep track of.
Okay. And then for the record, too, I know I'm kind of all over the place here, but Ben Johnson said, again, 70% completion percentage is always what it's going to be for any quarterback that he is working with. He did not hesitate when the question was asked. He kind of smiled and said, that's what it's always going to be, damn it.
Yeah, and I thought it was, you know, an extension of that. I thought it was notable when he was talking about Caleb, saying that, look, a lot of the spring was spent on polishing the footwork and making sure that he's aligned toward the target when he throws. That's going to help your accuracy when you're aligned. Well, now when you get out here in these full speed practices out here at camp, now you're testing processing speed, and the processing speed that will allow you to go to the right place with the ball at the right time will help your completion percentage as well. So that's a little nuance to the 70% discussion. And then just while we're on the topic of Ben, I'm sure this was something that caught you, just the idea that bonding during this period means something to him. He kind of mentioned the chemistry of the 2025 Bears as part of their secret sauce. Seems really eager to take a couple 3-night trips, one to Cincinnati, one to Nashville in August. And it just, I think there's a good awareness there from the head coach that the connection of that 2025 team helped elevate them a little bit, you know? And so the goal with a lot of new faces and new bodies is to try to get that going in the right direction as well.
Last thing that I have, as we are recording this, I am seeing some tweets, and I see a tweet here from your former teammate at the Chicago Tribune, Sean Hammond, saying that the Bears have placed defensive end Montez Sweat on the NFI list with an illness. That's non-football injury, NFI list, with an illness. He is expected to be back in a few days. Also, safety Elijah Hicks, about whom we were talking earlier, is going on the physically unable to perform list, the PUP list, with that shin injury, which polls did say does not appear to be major, but he needs to be on the PUP list for right now. So that's interesting.
Yeah, well, the sweat stuff is not something you want right out of the gates for a pass rush that's going to need to be at full strength. And you just hope that that Tez, when he comes back from whatever illness he's dealing with, is ready to rock and roll and dive into a camp that Ben said is going to be a demanding ordeal. And those demands are going to be consistently made of, no matter how highly paid you are or lowly paid you are, you're going to be asked to jump into training camp and participate in it the Ben Johnson way. So hopefully Montez gets himself ready to do that here very soon.
Wait, camp's going to be an ordeal? I didn't realize it was going to be an ordeal, which is a very difficult, painful, or tiring experience, which I guess that is. That makes it an ordeal. Yeah,
it will be an ordeal. I don't think it will be for us. It will be for those guys for sure. And we know what Ben's about at this time of year. It's a race, right? It's a race. It's an ordeal. It's a racy ordeal at times.
That's hilarious. All right, Dan, anything else? I mean, there's a lot we're throwing at the people, but is there anything else ahead of the Bears' first practice, first official training camp practice, which will go down very early on Wednesday morning? Like we said, we'll talk to the defensive coordinator on Wednesday. We'll talk to Caleb Williams on Wednesday. But anything else, Dan, you want to add before we get out of here?
So much more to share tomorrow after the proceedings out here. I do want to know this. When you have a morning like Wednesday morning where you got to be up, you got to be gone, say you want to just do a little grab-and-go breakfast, what are we doing? How are you handling your morning meals? Because my plan is to eat here, to not waste time at home, get a little extra sleep, pack something or grab something. I'm curious what you would do.
Well, if I'm grabbing something, if I'm doing like the grab a sandwich somewhere, like a breakfast sandwich, I'm either Starbucks breakfast sandwich or traditional good old fashioned sausage McMuffin with egg from McDonald's, maybe a hash brown on the side. I'm trying to report to camp in better shape, so I might leave out the hash brown and a cup of coffee to go with it as well. And you can, if I'm just grabbing something from my place, it's a banana and a Nutri-Grain bar.
Yeah. Banana is a staple. We got a lot of Baby Bell cheese for the kids in the deli drawer. So
that's great.
I pop one of those, maybe cut up an apple or something. But yeah, it's going to be a new routine that you got to get into here really quickly.
Yeah.
So for the first 2 weeks, I think, are going to be the early mornings. And we'll rock and roll out here. As early as they want to get us started, we're here for it.
Hey, the best part about it, or I guess the only good part about getting up at 5 o'clock or however early I'm going to have to get up in the city to get to the North Shore, is that I don't think the traffic's going to be an issue.
Shouldn't be. No, yeah, you should be able to fly.
Okay.
I'm gonna roll.
I plan on doing a little speeding tomorrow. So I'm looking.
I'll alert the authorities.
Oh, man. Remember when all the Bears players used to get tickets racing back from Bourbonnais? Or I don't know if we got tickets, but wasn't it always like NASCAR?
Oh, yeah.
Getting at Platteville probably back in the day, and Bourbonnais as well. Look out on the highway, basically.
Let's see. And when I was in Minnesota, from Mankato to the Twin Cities, there'd be a speedway as well. They'd get them rolling.
Yeah. Hey, man, you got those nice cars, man, those high performance automobiles. You want to use them right. That is going to do it for us out here at Halas Hall. For Dan Weider of The Athletic, for our executive producer, Adam Stadzinski, I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score, saying thank you so much for watching and listening to the mighty Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.